X-11, number 2A.
The text of Scientific Obstetrics on page 463, and we want to analyze it sentence by sentence. She starts out by saying, teacher and student should also be familiar with the obstetrics taught by this science. This paragraph is in the chapter on Christian Science teaching, and you see that she speaks here to teacher and student, meaning there is no difference between teacher and student, that for everyone birth has to take place, and everyone must know really the method of birth. But we can ask ourselves, what is teacher and student? Actually, we should know the whole chapter, the 13th chapter. It's a terrific chapter. In that 13th chapter, she brings out as an overall tone that there is no personal teacher and no personal student, and wants to bring out that the only thing that can teach us anything is the mind of Christ. You are a teacher from God, from heaven, from above. Therefore, when we consider this passage, I just try to see, well, who is the teacher? Mind is the teacher. Who is the student? Mind is the student. Only mind knows mind. Only mind can understand mind. This is the great tone that goes through the whole 13th chapter and is brought out here in this specific instance also. Where I begin when I read this passage, that I see the only teacher there is the divine mind. I do not need any other teacher. It's the divine mind. And what is it in me that can know God, that can be taught at all? It's only my mind consciousness, my mind Immanuel sense, mind with me alone can know mind. Nothing else can know mind but the divine mind itself. There is nothing outside of mind that can know mind. And so I begin this whole passage with a sense there is only one mind, that one mind is teacher and student, that one mind is the interpreter and the one who knows the interpretation. And so I begin to fill my thought with that wonderful fact that there is only one mind, that I have the mind that is God, therefore that I have the mind that knows all, sees all, hears all, that is aware of all, apprehends all, comprehends all. And I fill my thought with the very fact that there is nothing going on but mind knowing itself. And you have a touch of mind. So each one has that mind of Christ through its Immanuel sense. Each one can commune with that mind only through mind, through the all-knowing mind, all-seeing mind, all-perceiving mind. So that we really see there is a self-teaching going on, mind-knowing mind. And naturally, in that sense, I don't feel that there is something which I do not know, which I cannot know, which may be hidden, which may not be revealed to me. I just feel there is that infinite light shining as light and being understood as light. So start out that way. You see, we are not starting out with our human conceptions, with our human mind thinking, with our human reasoning. All that doesn't do the trick. It's not enough. We have to approach being already with the mind that is God. So we need no other teacher. Mind will show us everything. Mind gives us here the method of self-teaching. He says teacher and student should also be familiar with, and I myself goes to the sense of what is meant by being familiar with. What is this, does it express to be familiar with? And I just get the clearer sense to be familiar with means that my mind is familiar with the mind of God, that my mind, which is the divine mind, is absolutely attuned to the divine mind, is so familiar that it knows every little thing, every little detail, that this all-knowing mind within me is absolutely familiar with every idea of the divine mind, with all the truths of divine mind. Nothing is unclear, every little detail is known to me, every little detail is revealed to me, every little detail is shown forth through the light of mind, and I just build up a wonderful sense that there is nothing hidden, that there is nothing veiled. There is no estrangement between my thinking and God's knowing. There is just one enormous familiarity, one big communion of my mind, which is capitalized mind, with the mind that is God. I have no other mind but that mind, which is the mind of God. And so I can see that mind is familiar with mind. And all the restrictions fall, all the sense that I may not know just drops away, and I get into that wonderful atmosphere of one mind. And naturally, in that atmosphere where mind knows mind, revelation can go on. There is the field where revelation is natural, where the inspired thought just come and flow, and so we must see that we go out from that mind of Christ. Never go to the books, to science and health or the Bible, without that mind of Christ. Don't try to read the textbook with our intelligence, with our academic culture, with our intellect, with our way of reasoning and our way of thinking. Don't touch the books. Just first get into the habit of seeing that by approaching those books, it is the divine mind who wrote the books is going now to read the books. We are not going to read something with another mind, but with that mind that wrote the books. There's only one mind. And you have a completely different attitude to your study. Then study is not trying to reach with a funny human mind another mind which is the divine mind. Then there is just one mind within me. And you feel, therefore, that you have the mind of Christ. You know, like Micah said, don't you have a counselor within you? Don't you have a king within you? Don't you have the divine mind in you? Is there no king? Is there no counselor in you? Is there no divine mind in you? And with this attitude, we approach any subject. And can you see, therefore, that we can approach the new birth from an absolutely free standpoint, from an absolutely sinless standpoint, where you really can say, oh yes, humanly, I know that not everything is okay with me. I know that humanly, I have been born the way I am. I am born the way with all my pros and cons. And everybody is born with pros and cons, with some advantages, with some disadvantages. And everybody knows that somehow, somewhere, he's a real stinker. Everybody knows that. And here comes in the point which says, this doesn't count. This doesn't count at all. It doesn't matter who you have been. It doesn't matter who you are humanly and mortally. You are giving birth, first of all, to an idea. And you are giving birth to that idea from the source of the divine mind, and not from the source of your flesh in heritage. Nobody is responsible here on earth for all that what has been given to us through the fleshly birth. I didn't ask for all those funny qualities and negative qualities that I have when I was born. Why should I be responsible for it? I'm not going to be responsible for it. I'm not going to accept that. I'm jolly well to go and overthrow it and throw it right out of the window and ask myself, what is my parentage? Who am I? What is my parentage? My parentage is my teacher, that is divine mind. That divine mind wanted me. That divine mind only conceived of me in its perfection. That divine mind could only bring forth the true idea and the perfect idea and the fulfilled idea, and that is my inheritance. And with that I'm familiar. And therefore I'm not accepting what I'm humanly or mortally. Therefore I can see that this birth is going to take place in spite of our mortal makeup, in spite of it. Or there would be no hope for us. There would be no way out for us. So go out from that. To be really familiar with the divine mind and all what the divine mind knows about itself. Then Mrs. Eddy goes to a second step, spirit. She says, to attend properly the birth of the new child or divine idea, you should so detach mortal thought from its material conceptions that, and then she goes on, just as far as here. You see, now she postulates something that we have to do humanly in order that this birth is going on and comes forth without pain. Here she postulates something that we can contribute to the birth, namely to attend properly. Properly means in the right way. The birth of the new child or divine idea, what should you do? You should so detach mortal thought from its material conception. This is the most important and the only step really that is asked in the whole paragraph of us. That's the only thing she asks that we have to contribute, namely to detach mortal thought from its material conception. How do we do that? Can you see that it has to do with that wonderful synonymous term spirit? Spirit that makes a line of demarcation. Spirit that can divide between material conception and spiritual conception. Spirit that has that wonderful quality which says, get away, detach yourself from the wrong, and therefore open up yourself for the spiritual. Here we have this terrific sense that in order to bring forth the divine idea, and I said the divine idea, the new child, or the divine idea in this case, not a. She takes in the terrific birth of divine science. Actually, she says here, how can you give birth to divine science? That's the divine idea. How can you give birth? You know, I would suggest as a technical means for your study, that's what I did all over those 40 years when I started out today to take daily. I did take daily this sense of obstetrics. And I made a whole list of arguments from which I should detach my thought from material conceptions. And every day when I was going through it and praying about it and listening what seems to come up as argument and suggestion, why I should not be able to bring forth divine science. Every time I would listen to an argument, I would write it down. I wouldn't just leave it somewhere in the air, because one forgets these arguments very quickly. So I wrote them down one by one, and I can tell you that list is very big. That is not only a few, that is not only a few dozens, because in the hundreds. You just do that. You know, this is the most important thing. That's the only thing we from our side can contribute to the birth, so that the birth is not painful, so that the birth is natural, so that the birth is actually going on without any retardation. Because if we do not go with the birth, we ourselves can retard the birth, say, 50 years, 100 years, you know, not just a day, we retard it. We can retard it 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, easily. So, just listen inwardly what the argument may be. And they are manifold. You know, they say, what do you think of yourself that you can be a Mary, or even more than a Mary, because Mary only brought forth halfway something spiritual and halfway something bodily. Her sense of birth was overshadowed. It wasn't enlightened, Mrs. Eddy says. It was overshadowed. And Mrs. Eddy says that therefore the birth of her idea took partly of the fleshly condition. But what is considered here is the birth of the divine idea, not of the highest human concept of the divine idea. Therefore it needs a complete purity of consciousness which has no material conceptions and therefore detaches itself from material conceptions. You know, the arguments that will come up, they may talk all sorts of things. They may say to you, who do you think you are that you could be the Mary of the 20th century? The argument comes up and says, you are too old. And the argument comes up as it did to me, you are too young. You are too young. You are not enough experienced. The other one says, I'm already in the rut. I can't get away from it. Others' argument come up and say, I can't do it. I have a family. I have a job. I have this and that. That binds me. Another argument is, I have not enough understanding. I'm not yet there. Is that spirit? Huh? Aren't these material conceptions? Other arguments come up and say, I'm a man. I'm not a woman. I have only male qualities, but I need woman qualities to give birth. The other one says, I'm not a man, I'm not strong enough, I'm not wise enough, I'm not intelligent enough, I'm not powerful enough. And you just listen and listen and listen. All the hundreds of arguments that try to come in and say, why you are no good to be a Mary of the 20th century. Write them down. Face them squarely. Face them. And look them into the face and say, what are you saying? And then handle it. And then handle it. And don't struggle with it. It just says, detach yourself from this mortal conception. Just detach and say, but where did I start? I started out from mind. And mind only knows ideas. Mind takes on in consideration ideas. Therefore it has nothing to do with me. There's nothing to do with all these material conceptions. And you fill your thought with a wonderful sense that you are a spiritual proposition, that only the divine mind works in us, and that the divine mind has no material conception. Therefore in this way we begin to detach ourselves from all these suggestions. See, they have no origin in God. They are no channel of the divine mind. They are no facts of the divine mind. They are just nothing. And you feel suddenly pure. You feel suddenly that you don't have anything to do with all these suggestions, that they are not you. That they have nothing to do with you. They have no power over us. You detach yourself that they could have power over us, that they could stop the birth, they could stand in our way, All this comes up. You just make a list, you will be surprised to see what comes up as suggestion that says you can't be the Mary of the 20th century. You can't give birth to divine science. I'm not a scientist. I have not been trained in science. I didn't have a good schooling. It's a long time since I came out of school. I have no time. Huh? I have no time. Are these material conceptions or are they spiritual conceptions? Did mind ever say, I can only work through you if you have time? You see? These are all material conceptions. And it's quite a kick, you know, to have a list just to see bluntly into the eye of the serpent talking and winding and its tail around. And if you refuse one argument, it talks the other argument. And it seems never to stop, but it stops when we face it squarely. After a while of inner striving, of inner struggling to be at one with that one mind, to be familiar with that one mind, and only to see that one mind is operating, that one mind is spirit, that one mind does not know any opposite, that one mind does not know any suggestion, any animal magnetism, any beliefs. It does not know it. And soon you feel your consciousness is roaming in a wonderful realm of spiritual ideas, where you feel these are the facts about being. This is detaching mortal thought from all its material conceptions. Can you see? Face it. We have to face it. You see, we have not to shut our eye to to this suggestion. Yes. Or, you know, later on, when one knows a bit more about the whole chart and so on, naturally one turns it to the positive and says, well, what does it mean to detach mortal thought from its material conception when I put it into the positive? It means that then we atones instead of detach, that we commune with what? Where I begin to see there is only the impact of life, truth and love at work. This impact of life, truth and work operates, and that's naturally spiritual conception. If I begin to see that nothing happens else but that one mind that conceives all ideas is of the nature of that pure life, truth and love, and see that life, truth and love alone always develop and develop and unfold and unfold and evolve the ideas of mind, and there is no other realm. Then you get the positive sense of this sentence. And you begin to feel that there is a terrific parent mind as life, truth and love at work that says, I bring forth that child in all its beauty. I, life, with the whole impulsion of life, bring forth the facts of being that are right from the beginning fulfilled in love. And you get the sense of the positive way of bringing the idea forth in a natural way. Yes? Then, Mrs. Eddy says, then she comes really to the third point. I will show you the kingdom, he said. If you use the water and the spirit, then you will see the kingdom, then it will become definite. And so she said, that the birth will be natural and safe. And you get a terrific sense of the safety of soul, of the identity of soul, that the nature of God is being brought forth, and is shown, and is secure, and nothing can touch it anymore, and you just think about that wonderful sense that the birth is safe, that nothing can touch it, no sickness can touch it, no argument can touch it anymore, nobody can gainsay it anymore, nobody can destroy it anymore, nobody can hide it anymore, nobody can do anything anymore to that idea. Because it has a safe identity, it has first of all identity, it cannot be marred, it cannot be distorted, It has its defined nature, and nothing can touch it anymore. And just see that sense of soul, that what comes out of that whole birth of mind and spirit is actually of the nature of identity, destiny, mission, and that mission is safe. Nobody can destroy it anymore. I can't live without that. I won't know how I could have pulled through 40 years without that definite sense that if something is born of mind and spirit, that it has the nature of soul, and it's safe. So actually no crisis, no chemicalization can overthrow it again.